These innovations in record keeping are one reason why we have so much evidence for this period, because a lot of evidence, a lot of texts from earlier periods had to be rewritten, and so they are stored in these areas. Shulgi's extensive bureaucracy also supplies us with our earliest information about the education of scribes. Both private and official scribal schools, which are called eduba, or tablet houses, existed. And we learn that a scribe would begin his education at a young age, perhaps as early as 7 years old. Both male and female scribes are recorded, although it's fairly rare for a female name to appear in these records, but they do exist. It would take several years to learn the vast number of signs that would be necessary to gain employment, especially employment for the crown, for the king. In addition to the cuneiform signs, scribes would also have to be familiar with the new accounting methods that would be used to record rations, labor, any other necessity that records economic aspects of the palace, in some instances a temple, or in rare cases for the Urithri period, even private transactions. Scribes were compensated with rations, textiles, beer, or even land. And we see evidence for scribes at all economic levels. Some are very wealthy, and those would be the scribes who worked for the king. Others earned a much more modest living, scratching out some way of supporting themselves. And these would be scribes that recorded individual transactions, so they couldn't count on a steady income necessarily. Shulgi, much like our Akkadian predecessor, Naram Sin, made himself a god about halfway through his reign. And this set a precedent in the Urithri dynasty for kings to be worshipped as gods. As with Naram Sin, this may have been an attempt to weaken the city-state and to strengthen the connection to the central government. We have no later sources that condemn Shulgi as they did Naram Sin, so the idea of the king as a god seems to have been very well accepted by this point. Shulgi also took the title King of the Four Quarters of the World, which Naram Sin had created. So it's a return to a broader sense of scale and power that these later rulers took from their Akkadian predecessors. Praise poems, often called hymns by modern translators, described the prowess of the king in every aspect of his rule, and these are much more detailed than our earlier inscriptions that might focus on military success, usually some sense of dominance. But Shulgi's praise poems, or hymns, are quite detailed and long, and they celebrate his preeminence among rulers, as well as his divine heritage. And there are long descriptions of his physical strength and his intellectual qualities. So in one poem, Shulgi writes about how quickly he can run, and he's not just fast, but he has a lot of endurance, so he describes himself as a donkey. All of these praise poems are written in the first person, so it creates a sense to the modern way of looking at political readers that we have a very arrogant king, but we should probably think of him as enthusiastic and trying to show every area that he succeeds in. And this would be comforting to his people. They would know that he was not just physically strong, but he was also smart. Shulgi is one of the very few literate rulers that we know of. Most kings probably did not bother to learn to read or write because they would have a whole force of scribes to do that for them.